So responsibility and independence, they're two different things. But you know, as a youth, we really don't know too much. Sometimes we act like we know a lot of things, so we get confused between responsibility and independence. So I would say that we should always be careful, because responsibility is like you having to take control over a certain situation. But independence is like you trying to be on your own. And for some cases, if you are too old, that doesn't mean that you are able to be independent, because haven't figured out yourself, because people are different. Everybody has their own way of understanding. Like, you can see somebody of like 22 and 28, but you can tell that the older one, who is 27, is still not mature as the 22-year-old. So a 22-year-old can be independent, but a 28-year-old cannot. So responsibility is you having to do what you can do at that point in time. Or, I mean, not everybody can. Me exactly. Sometimes I shy away from responsibilities, but we learn every day. So you should be able to discern which one you can use at that point in time. But independence is like a really huge deal, so you need to be careful as to which you want to take in both of them. All right, thank you.
Second question, please. How do I approach the conversation? And I think, Olufe, you're going to be answering this. How do I approach the conversation on boundaries and independence? How do I show my parents that I can handle responsibility?
Okay, so the first part of the question says, how do you approach the conversation to your parents on boundaries and independence? Right? From my personal experience, I've learned that parents, sometimes they can be tight-fisted, but that's just because they don't think that you're ready yet. Right? And for me, how I had that conversation with my parents was, I just told them, Daddy, Mommy, this is the type of person I am. This is certain things that I want to be able to do. Right? And them understanding the fact that I wasn't just trying to be an unruly child. I'm not trying to claim independence just because I want to go to a party. I'm not trying to be independent just because I just want to be able to stay out late. Right? Letting your parents understand the reason behind the decision that you're making. Let them see that you're coming from a place of maturity. Not just because, oh yeah, you see your friends staying out till 12 p.m. at night. That doesn't mean you have to do that. Right? But when you're talking to your parents, understand that your parents are people too. Right? They just want to hear your reasons. They want to see that you're at a place where you can make decisions for yourself, where the consequences are not going to eventually affect you. Right? So your parents want to make sure that you have like a good future. That's why they feel like they should help you out in certain things. So when you go to meet them and you tell them, Mommy, Daddy, this is certain things that I want to be able to do, and I'm also coming back to you for counsel at every step of the way. So they feel like they're still involved in your life. You're not just telling them, bye, I don't need you anymore. You always come back to them for counsel. Let them feel like you're asking for wisdom from them, because you know that they're wise enough to give you instruction. Right? And also, when you're about to have that conversation, make sure you talk to God before you do it, right? Because parents are different, right? They're parents that are very liberal, like they let their children do anything they want, but they're parents that are very, you gotta do this way. So you wanna ask God for wisdom to have that conversation with them, because you wanna be able to say it in a way that they will understand what you're saying and both of you can move forward. So make sure you go back to God first and ask Him for wisdom to speak to your parents in a way that they themselves will understand what you're saying. Because if you go there and you just like, Mommy, I'm going out, I'm going to be out at 12 o'clock, bye. Your mom will look at you and be like, no, you're not under my roof. But if you go to her and tell them, okay, this is the reason why I need to be out this late. This is a specific reason why. And they see, okay, it's not like you're just going out to be, no,
houses, right? You're going out because you have to be out till that specific time. And if you tell them you're going to be back at 12 o'clock, be back at 12 o'clock, because that gets them to build trust in you. If they start to trust you, they'll start to give you more room to do certain things. But if your parents don't trust you, that's when they start to close up and be like, they have to force you to do certain things because they feel like your words are not your bond, right? You don't say the things that you're going to do. So you want your parents to be able to trust you, and that's how you show them that you can handle responsibility, right? If they tell you to do certain things, do it. If you say you're going to do it, make sure you do it. Because if you don't do it, they don't trust you anymore, and then they're just inclined to start forcing you and commanding you to do certain things. So if you make it of your own point to make sure that whatever you say you're going to do, you're going to do it, your parents will start to trust you and start to give you more responsibility, which eventually helps you to grow into your own sense of independence.
Praise God. So everyone, please, as they're going through the questions, write down the questions that you have, because at the end, you have opportunity to, you know, talk about like some of the questions that they have spoken about, or actually ask the question to the panelists. So the next question is, what responsibilities, Sandra, you answered this, what responsibilities should you assume as a youth?
Okay, so this question is going to be a little tricky, because I'm going to take a different route with this one. Responsibility biblically equals blessings, right? So we're going to read Genesis 27, verse 1-4. So it says, I'm going to read for the sake of time. It says, now when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, he called his elders and favorite son Esau and said to him, my son. And Esau answered him, here I am. Isaac said, see here, I am old. I do not know when I may die. So now please take your hunting gear, your quiver of arrows, and your bow, and go out into the open country and hunt game for me. And make me a savory and delicious dish of meat, the kind I love, and bring it to me to eat, so that my soul may bless you as my firstborn before I die. So basically my first point is here is that responsibility is a design of God, and as youth, we should aspire to live within the desire of God. So, youth, I'll talk to you first before I move it to the other side, but as youth, we need to learn to do things for us. Don't look at it as you're doing it for your parents. Don't look at it as, oh, I have a responsibility to cook in the house because I live under their roof. I have a responsibility to give money for the phone bills because, you know, I work now. Look at it as, if I do this, God blesses me in return. And there's a tremendous favor that comes to me. Not my parents. It comes to me somewhere down the line where I, too, will be in a situation when I need great favor, either from my kids, from someone else. And God blesses you because he saw your heart. And he saw the fact that even with the free will you had and as an adult, you used it to bless your parents, and now the favor comes back on you. So as we saw on the thing with Isaac, Isaac told his son, go bring meat for me, and then I will bless you. So someone had to do the work. So Esau didn't just say, oh, I went to the store and bought something. He had to take his hunting gear, meaning he had to put in work. The Bible says that the person who doesn't work doesn't eat. That's what it says. The person who doesn't work doesn't eat. So he had to do the work. He had to go out to hunt. He had to go after the animals. Then he had to come back and also prepare them. Not only just hunt it, he prepared the meal. He cooked it well and good, his father's favorite dish, and gave it to him. So again, with responsibility, although this means free will, you're an adult, you can do what you want, remember that you're responsible to take care of the people who also took care of you, especially if you're living under their roof. That one now is just common sense at this point. If you're living under someone's roof, you're not paying rent, you're not doing anything, the wise thing to do as someone who is a responsible adult is to say, okay, what can I do? I remember when I first got to college, my first college job ever, and I got so excited. I think my check was like $200, and I got so excited. At that moment, Sprint was doing this thing where you can go into a Sprint store, and they have the kiosk, so you don't have to be the person who owns the account. You can just go and type in your number, and it'll bring up the bill, and you can just pay for it right away. And I was so excited, and I did it, and I paid the bill for my mom, and then she saw it, and she was so excited. And I felt like I did something, because I was like, you know, this is something that my mom has been doing, and I am using the phone. I and my siblings are using the phone. So let me use something and give. I couldn't pay her house rent. I couldn't do all that. But the little that I can do, the small sprint build that I can do. It felt so good to me. And ever since that day, my mom every day would ask me, Sandra, what do you need? 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 And the favor came upon me because in everything that I worked, she let me keep it. And she still took care of me while I was in college. So again, as youth, we need to realize that favor comes with responsibility towards your parents, towards everyone else. And also, things that you learn in your home transpire to the things that you do in real life. If you cannot be responsible, if you don't know how to think wisely in the home, when you get to your workplace, you will be lacking. When you get to your school, you'll be lacking. Why? Because there are characteristics and personalities that you learn in the home that once you're grounded in that, when you go out, you can the favor of God will follow you there and will help you there. Another verse I was going to do is Proverbs. Let me finish up. Proverbs 28:20. It says, a faithful, right-minded man will abound with blessings, but he who hurries to be rich will not go unpunished. And then Proverbs 22:24, it says, do you see a man skillful and experienced in his work? He will stand in honor before kings, and he will not stand before obscurity. So we have to remember as youths, again, I'm not saying that you guys have to do these things, but I'm saying search within your heart and say that although I'm an adult, what can I do? It doesn't have to be for your parents. Do it for your siblings. Do it for anywhere you see that things are lacking and that you can do something about it, no matter how little, how big, whether they even acknowledge it or not. Like, even if it's washing the dishes and they say, oh, it's your responsibility, don't worry about it. Those things really do matter. And at the end of the day, it will bless you more than you ever expected. Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay. And also to the parents part of the gist. Okay, with parents, again, we as youths, we cannot tell you how to run your home. This is your home. This is how you do it. We're your children. We have to obey your rules. But as Lufa has already said, it's something that you should be willing to have a sit-down conversation with your children. Again, once children start to... One thing is that, I don't know if you guys have realized this, but children really thrive to be favored by you. It might not look that way. I promise you, it doesn't look that way. But a lot of us, most of us, we thrive to please you guys. A lot of the things that we do is to get you to say, great job. It's to get you to say, wow, my daughter did this. So we want it. Just because we're not getting it the way you want us to get it doesn't mean that that's not what is in our heart to do. So again, if your child has gone to an age where you think they should be responsible, then on your part, you need to start treating them like an adult. So meaning, like she said, have a sit-down conversation. If it's that your child is not doing what you think they should be doing, you're already making this much money. You know how things are tight here. Can you please do one-on-one and sell things? Oh, Lufa, me and your mom have to work today. Can you please, on your way back from work, do the grocery shopping or do this? And give them the responsibility that you think they should have, and then have a decent one-on-one adult-to-adult conversation with them and agree on something. Not hammering them down. Agree on something. And then as a youth, you now have to trust us that we can accomplish that the way we've discussed it.
For those who are coming in, we're saying that you can write down your questions, and also at the end we have room to comment on any of the questions that they have answered. So the fourth question, I am about to go into college, but my parents won't let me choose my career. Do I have to listen to them since they are paying my tuition?
I'm a victim to this question because this actually did happen to me when I was living in Nigeria and stuff like that. So when I was younger, I wanted to be a soccer player, and but my mom didn't even want to hear that at all. I remember my uncles would be like telling her, oh, soccer players, they make good money, they are this, when they get you, take you this, they take you anywhere you want to go, da 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 da. My mom was like, okay, have you finished talking? Just, it's okay, I want him to go to school. If he's not going to school, but they kept telling her that, okay, he's going to go to school, no doubt, but there are schools that pay for him to go play soccer. And she was like, no, he's not going to any school that teaches them soccer. He's just going to go and learn book. I said, okay, no problem. So when I noticed that that was where my mom was headed with that, in primary school, I remember when they used to ask me, what do I want to be outside of soccer player? Then when I got into high school, they asked me what I wanted to be. I would say aeronautical engineer. At that point, I didn't even know what that meant. I was just saying it just because he has big English and everything. I'm like, okay, all right, no problem. I just kept saying that. Then when you got to, because in Nigeria, you do JS, and then when you get into SS, they now tell you either to go to arts, commercial, or sciences. So, and I asked a friend of mine, aeronautical engineer, where would they go? They say science. I went to science. I stayed in science class for like a good 2 weeks. And then, I know I had this, my lesson teacher, he was the vice chancellor or something like that. Yeah, he was. And but then he knew, I was one of the main reasons why he came to science class to say, oh, if you know you can't be in science class, please don't come, don't be here, because there's a reason for going to science class. And he used to tutor me on math, and he knew my capability in math. So he would say, he came that whole week, he was just coming, and when he's coming, he's talking to the whole class, but he's looking directly into my eyes. I said, okay, no problem. He then didn't say anything. Then I would like to believe that he went to go and plan with the further math teacher. I would just say that, because the next day, we had further math class. When the man came into the class, he started teaching. He filled up only one question. He filled up the board 3 times and cleared the board. I said, no, this one is not for me. I then went to art class. I then went to art class. No, that part of my history is just funny, honestly. I then went to art class. We were like 15 in the class. I was doing so good in art class. So good, because it has to do with like creativity and all those kind of things. So good. But then I knew my level of knowledge when it comes to school and everything. Then I remember out of 20 students, I came second in art. I said, no, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I know my capability, I know where I'm supposed to be, because then in school I used to be like average. And then when I came second, I said, no, I can't be this good. I passed everybody here. Me, I went to commercial. When I went to commercial class, I came out of 45 students, I was 25. I said, yes, this is where I'm supposed to be. I stayed there. I was just wondering, I just finished school. Then I went into college. And then I said, look, mommy, this thing is not for me. It's soccer I want to play. And at that point, I used to do well in soccer in school. So I got like different people from England sending my house emails, some good clubs, that actually soccer clubs that wanted me. But my mom won't tell me. She'll just be ignoring it. And this, they offered for school and stuff like that, but my mom won't even say anything, or that this is happening. These people called her or anything like that. She just ignored everything. And I said, okay, no problem. When it was time to go into college, I said, well, I'm not going to be here anymore. I want to come to America. She said, I'm deceiving myself, because I know what you want to do. When you go there, now you go and look for a club to go and play, and that you are here, you will do college. I said, what's the point? I'm not going to concentrate in school. If I go there now, I'm not going to do anything. So you just help me, understand me, and let me. And my mom, she didn't finish school like that, so she just stopped at some certain level. So that's why I could understand that she just wanted me to go to school at least to complete what she didn't finish. But we're not the same thing, so I can't. So then I said, okay. And I remember that period, so Aunt Stella calls my mom, like, he wants to come over here. We are here, we'll help him do this. My mom said, this one is not, it's not even going to happen. That I want my son to be in Nigeria, finish college. After college, if he wants to go anywhere, he goes. I said, okay. So I just called a friend of mine. And at that point, I asked my mom, well, you're going to be paying the tuition. But this was after This was after a month and everything, Shah. So she was like, oh, okay, she's going to be the one paying the tuition. She doesn't know why I'm... I said, okay, if you're going to pay the tuition, fine. I'll just go. So I went, and then I finished. But it's not what I wanted to do at the end of the day. So I would just say that... And at that point in time, I was so disrespectful to my mom. I'm not going to lie about that. So because we weren't getting too much understanding with ourselves. So, yeah. So I'm going to say, I want to read the Bible verse about obeying your parents at the same time. Because in Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. That's always what my mom will always read to me. I didn't even know that it was continuation. So she doesn't even tell me, she doesn't say anything like, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. When I got older and I saw that part, I said, what is your time?
Olufe?
Okay. But it's just basically understanding what your child can do at that point in time. If you see him growing up, if you see what he likes to do, yes, he has to go to school so he can, like, expand his horizon to knowledgeable things so he can actually stand with his peers. So that's fine. He has to go to school, but always watch him to see what he loves to do so he can attend.
Thank you. 2 minutes for you, Olufe, to answer this question.
Okay, from that point, I think the part I'm going to go is you don't have to listen to them because they're paying your tuition, but you have to listen to them because sometimes they know you a lot better than you think they do. Right? So I'm going to use my older brother as an example, right? When he started university in Nigeria, he said engineering is what he wanted to do. Mm-mm. My dad told him, like, you like to draw, right? I mean, yes, you like a little of science, but you're not a pure scientist. So, like, engineering cannot, like, be where you... And you love to draw. How about you do architecture? Right? That was what my dad told him. And then he was like, okay, maybe. And he did it. And now, if you see him, everybody would think that from the beginning of time, architecture was what he wanted to do. But that wasn't the case. But it was, he listened to what my dad said. I'm like, okay. My dad understood the type of person he was. Right? And then he gave him counsel based on that. Like, okay, based on the type of person you are, this is what I think might be best for you. Because sometimes we think we know best. We really think we know everything. Like, oh, yeah, I want to be an engineer. Ah, yes, I love physics. Until you get to a school like NGIT and you realize you actually don't love physics, right? And then your mom probably already told you that physics was not your point, but you just... Sometimes we as youth, we think we know a lot, but we really don't. And especially when it comes to crucial decisions. So don't listen to your parents just because, well, yeah, they have to pay my tuition, so I got to go do it. But listen to them, like, ask them the reasons why they're saying to study these certain things, right? So let them explain to you, okay, maybe they've seen certain things in you, certain tendencies that you like to do. They've seen certain things in you that makes them believe that you will excel at these certain things. Right? And when you try to understand where they're coming from, right, it starts to look less like a command and more like godly counsel. Right? Because there's that, I don't know how to say it in Yoruba, but it's like what an adult will see sitting down, right? A young person cannot see even if they're standing on top of a tree. Right? So there's certain things that your parents will know, certain things that they will see. And sometimes also, like, when it comes to, like, spiritual, like, maturities, your parents most likely are more mature than you spiritually, right? So they know certain things upon your life. There might be certain prophecies that have come for your life, right? Certain things that God has told them that maybe this is a path you're going to take. But if you don't take the time to ask them why they're telling you these things, and you just assume, hey, my parents want to control my life. If you take that mindset, there's nothing they're ever going to say to you that's going to sink in because you've already created a block. You've already, like, told them that you can't resist them.
So we're going to go to the last question. My parents are always... Sandra, you're going to answer this.
My parents are always asking me to be more spiritual and involved in church, but every time I tell them that this is what I heard from God, they say that they have heard from God. What they have heard from God contradicts what I heard. How do I break free from my parents' spirituality? When can I decide my path spiritually?
All right. Take this reason up. Okay. So we'll first get started with second thing. This one, I have to go to the Bible for this one. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. It says, this is for the youth first. Study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. We'll go to 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, let no one look down on you let me finish the first verse first. Okay. So let's get started. Youths, again, goes back to what Lufe had said earlier. There's something called trust. Trust is something that is built over time. Trust is something that you have to prove yourself not once, not twice, not three times, but consistently and accurately for people to say, we cannot entrust you with something. Go ahead and be free. So again, spiritual, and I'm not the pastor, so I'll try my best. People don't crucify me. Spiritually speaking, right, as a youth, your parents, again, like Lufe said, they've been through this process. They understand this process. They've gone through their trials, their things with God. They've gone through their blessings, their miracles, their step downs. They've gone through all this, so they know these things. And like she said, again, before you were born, and even while you were young, God speaks to them. Remember, you're a gift that was given to your parents for them to take care of this treasure. So he's ready to let you fly and be yourself, right? So meaning that at some point in your parents' lives, he has given them something for you. So when your parents are coming with you with things, they're not doing this because they want to overpower you. Again, nobody in this world has the best intentions for you than your parents. No one can love you more. No one can want more for you than the people who gave birth to you. So when they come to you with this whole, God said this and God said that, or you do this and you do this thing, trust me, their intention is pure. Now, the way they do it, we don't know how that comes about. It varies with parents. But all I have to say is that the Bible says, study and do your best and present yourself to God approved. Meaning what? Even when you feel like you've gotten to a place in your life where you have a relationship with God, your lifestyle has to prove that. And that's the only way your parents can say, my child is ready to move forward. So again, meaning what? They see you praying more. They see you more involved. They see you. Like, not even, it doesn't have to do with even God things. Just anything in your life. Because they know that once you start to work personally with Christ, there has to be a change. It has to be. I don't care how little, how big. Someone outside of yourself will see that, wow, this person is working with Christ. So they will see this thing. They will see this thing. And that's how they start to say, wow, my child is transforming. I see it. I see it. And before you know it, they will now be the ones to back off and say, wow, this is really what God has given me. And they'll be proud too. They'll be happy. Your parents want to be proud of you. They want to tell the whole world, did you see? Look at Dana that was on the stage the other day. You think your parents probably didn't boast already? Because why? They're proud that, wow, the daughter that... The daughter that God has given them, look at her standing in front of her peers. In a time today where being a Christian is frowned upon, she stood in front of her peers and she taught the word of God truthfully and without shame. Those are things your parents want from you. So believe and trust that till you prove yourself to them, they will back off. But you have to. Do everything the way God has told you to do. God is not an author of confusion. One thing they taught us in counseling ministry is that God won't come to me and tell me something that my family should do and not go to my husband. It doesn't work that way. He's the head. God will come to him and then he'll tell me. And God will still convict me too. But my husband must know. Same thing. God won't come to you and cause confusion with your parents. They will get the same thing that you got from God. That's just how it works. So that's that. And then the second one is let not 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one look down on you because of your youth, but be an example and set a pattern for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Same thing I said. You prove these things to them. Trust me, they will not belittle you. They will raise you among your peers. Even your peers will be the ones that will be like, wow. Like my husband, I don't mean to be the one to gloat, but I love this man so much because he proves himself daily, not just to me, but to everyone. And because of that, people are able to come to him for things. And that, those things are things I want to emulate. Why? Because he's proven himself over and over and over and over and over again without fighting for you to know that he has done it. He does it, and God is the one that elevates him to where he needs to be. And then the final thing is to the parents. Parents, please, we beg of you. We are trying. This world that we live in, we are trying as youths. There are a lot of social media is distracting us. A lot of things that are out here that are distracting us. But please, help us get better. Lead us into these things. Don't be the kind of parent that every single time, like even sometimes married couples, they still have their parents telling them what to do in their family. Like, no, you've let them. The Bible says the husband will leave you and will go and do their own thing. So let trust that God loves your child more than you can ever do it. And God has his plan and his purpose for them. So trust that if I wash my hands for my children and let them be free, God can take it on. He's been doing, when you were the one leading them, God was the one using you to lead them, not you. So trust that once you've let go, let God, and he will do it.
Thanks. I'm going to pray for the offering. Lord, I thank you so much, God, for your grace over us. Thank you because you are here with us. As we have gathered together in your name, there you are in our midst. And Lord, we are praying over the offering, God, that you bless it, that you replenish for the people who are seeking out, even the people that they don't have, God. Lord, I just pray that you bless them financially, God. Lord, I thank you because even as we're moving forward, that you are with us and that your name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're opening it up to questions and answers and comments. So, okay.
First of all, good morning, everybody. I'm overwhelmed by the caliber of people we have here and the type of presentation you guys did. Okay, so we thank God for what God is using you guys to bring back to us. It's it's very appreciating to hear when you articulate your points the way you did. So I appreciate that. My question will go to any of you. At what point would a youth tell their parents where they are going, okay, and when they ought to come back, okay? At what point of their, would they say, "Mommy or Daddy, I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere," or even suggest to their parents that they are going somewhere. At what point should they do that?
Okay, so that was the first question to answer, but I just want to say one thing. There should be no point in your life as youth that your parents need to be asking that sort of question. They are your parents. It's called respect. I don't care how old you are. Like right now, if my mom calls me and says, "Sanja, where you are?" Even if I'm married, "Mommy, I'm in New York. It's 10 p.m. I'll be home soon. I've talked to my husband." At no point should your parents feel like they need to ask you what you're doing or what time you're going to come home. If they're your parents, it's all about respect. When you go to work, when you're going on a lunch break, when you're clocking out, when you're taking a break, you tell your boss why. Because he's responsible for you. He's paying you. He has a right to know these things. Same way you apply that in the home. These are your parents. They love you. What are they going to do? Are they going to beat you? If they beat you, the body will break. It will get healed. It doesn't matter. When your parents say, "What time are you going to be home?" let them know. Like she said, 11 o'clock, this is what I'm going to be doing, so thing. If they say no, come at 10:15. Come to a mutual ground. But again, I feel like sometimes when parents ask these questions, it bothers me a little because, again, these are things that we do with normal human beings. So let's do that with our parents too. At no point should they ask that question. What time will you come home? If they're giving you the ability to even answer that question, it means that they're giving you leniency. So now respect them back and just tell them. That's it.
I just want to dwell on something I have had. He talked about the portion in the Bible that talks about the promises that comes from obeying your parents. And he rightly mentioned that that is one of the two promises. The other one is on the Great Commission, where it talks about go and I'll be with you even to the end of the world. And I just wanted to say those two promises, obeying your parents, the Bible says that the promises of God are yea and amen. And we know it's true. I think those are some areas we should never toy with. Okay? Secondly, having taught here in the high school and also taught in the college teaching mathematics, I wanted to, because every time I hear comments here about math as if it is an impossibility for people to really go into college and do the course they want to do. And some of them are running away because they want to divert and avoid having to do math. And I want to say this. If you have done math class in the high school and finished it very well, math in the college should be very easy for you. The math program in the high school goes a little ahead and beyond and goes to where it goes into the curriculum that the college starts with. So that if you have done your math class in the high school, when you go to college, you should find it easy. It should not be anything that will chase you away from having to do the class that the course that you have selected. Okay? So I don't want, just do your math program, and if you're going to college, select the class you want to, you're going to do, and go into it, and know that if you have succeeded in the high school math program, you should be able to carry you over to do the math program in college.
Praise God. We don't want it to be only parents. We also encourage you to ask questions. We know that you have burning questions in your heart, so.
I want to encourage students. Listen, mathematics is the cheapest subject. It's the simplest subject to do. But there's this thing out there that places it in a dream where people are afraid of it. I made an A in mathematics. I could study mathematics with music on. It's so simple. In every math question, they give you the knowns and leave one unknown. All you need to do is to know the basic principles, and then you put it down, you plug in the knowns, and then you do your formula, and then the unknown will pop out. Very easy. There's nothing difficult in mathematics. Actually, I prefer math to any other thing. And every time I did the exams, I would go to the math questions because you collect the complete math there. No long story. So if you really think mathematics is difficult, I'm telling you today, it is not what? Difficult. The man that had this prize in chemistry, what they call it, this one they give internationally. Nobel Prize in chemistry, was frightened of chemistry. He was cast for chemistry. He hated chemistry. He didn't want to hear anything about chemistry. Until he realized that chemistry was within grasp. And he became a Nobel laureate in chemistry, which is the highest you can be. But initially, he hated chemistry. He didn't want to do anything with chemistry. Until he found out, wait a minute, this is something that is interesting. So you don't go with fear. Go with faith. And if I made it in math, you can make it also. And I think my wife made it. I'm not sure. If you tell her, it's trouble between two of us.
Right, okay.
Who had the question in the... Oh, you wanted to...
I had a question. Praise the Lord. So, can everybody hear me? Okay, so my question is sort of tailored towards our cultural, like, upbringing. We're mostly African, and this is a question applying to us. Why is it such that a lot of times our parents' definition of success, like in your career, is usually geared towards towards certain types of degrees in what, and I would say that like lawyers, doctors, engineers, like those type of degrees that have this sort of pedigree to them that we, that is considered, oh, now you're successful, right? In this day and age where, like, literally everyone can see what you're doing, like, why is it that we're still pushing just those same things as, oh, if you're going to be successful, you should be a doctor or you should be a lawyer? Like, why can't someone go to music school and be successful as music, right? They could be a musician and they could be successful. Like, why not? Or a photographer. My brother said I should say that.
Okay, we're going to allow the audience to answer.
Where's God?
Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Hold on. You want to answer that, what he said?
Yeah.
Okay. Because my own has it. I want to say something.
Nigeria, where I came from, excuse me, we have causes that are dead in Nigeria. Hello? We have causes in Nigeria that are dead, and there's no place for them in Nigeria. Because, for example, my parents, they don't know anything in school. All what they know is the causes that they made mention. Then, what do you want your parents to do? When you went to school and study anthropology, psychology, zoology, all kind of stupid causes, that there is no place for them in Nigeria education. There is no, practically, there's no room for them. How many zoos do you have in Nigeria? They have one in Enugu. They have one in, probably in Ibadan. Probably Lagos doesn't have any zoo. And you came out and studied zoology. What do you want to do in Nigeria? They will put you in school. You
will
study in Nigeria.
Can you be respectful of the person speaking, please? Thank you.
You come out of school, they will put you probably in chemistry class or biology class. At the end of the day, you won't make any headway. Probably if you go to school and study education, in chemistry, biology, whatever it is, you can have a place as a teacher. Probably you will go further somewhere. There are a lot of things that is wrong with us, that the parents, it's not the fault of the parents. It's the fault of the society that is not enlightened and broadened. So, my dear brother, I'm sorry. That is the way we are.
Okay, Uncle Chris is going to answer. Uncle Chris on it.
Praise the Lord. One of the things that you should understand is that is, God has given each and every one of us different abilities. Okay? And don't dabble into things that you don't have any strength to do. You know, God has given you a talent. You know, in this nation, you can make money in anything. Any, you know, the richest people in America, they didn't do science. Some of them did some business, and even people who invented things, some of them never even got up to college. They didn't even finish in college. So we need to know the abilities God has given to us. If God has given you an ability to do music, be the best you can be on that music. The other thing that we are talking about, parents, you know, the parents, there are courses that you go through, you are guaranteed of work, okay, when you come out. You get work right away. That's what the parents are pointing to, those professions, so that you can work. So there are courses, gerontology. Somebody went and did gerontology. This is the things that they do for old people who are the older generations. Yeah. So if you don't know gerontology, so I heard about it in school. Somebody was doing that. I didn't know what that means. Okay. It's a profession. But, you know, that profession is good. If that God has called you to be there and you have the strength to do that. So what we are encouraging people, parents, don't always think that your son is not a lawyer, a doctor, that they cannot thrive. It, this society, they can thrive in any way. God, let me tell you what God says in Philippians 4:19, that God will supply all your need abundantly according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So whatever profession you have done, God is going to fully supply anything that you need in it. Amen?
We have somebody in the back. Who's going to answer? No, somebody already has a mic in the back. So. Can we switch the mic, please, if that mic is not working?
Glad this is one of the biggest issues that I've seen with my peers that has truly been a concern to me, and I'm glad that someone brought it up. We do come from, just like some of my elders have recently stated, we do come from a country or a nation that is impoverished, and oftentimes we don't have all the assistance programs that we have here back home. So our parents, you know, toil to send us to school. And in turn, it's almost like an investment. They want their investment to yield fruit. So if they send you to do food, you know, courses that are unrelated, or they might feel that it's not, you know, it's not yielding. So of course they will try to push you towards the most fruitful courses. However, and I'm especially grateful to my parents also, because when they came here, they had to go into courses that would immediately yield them income. They've already been to school, and oftentimes when they come here, they kind of have to start all over. So they have done courses that will yield them income. So some of them went to nurses or whatever fast course that will yield income as fast as. And also, in addition, they do have people back home that are dependent on them. Especially the minute you come to America, you are expected to be sending something back home. So they had a whole lot of pressure. I'm sorry, just to kind of round it up. They had a whole lot of pressure. However, I always encourage my peers, in order for you to be the best person that you are and to live the most fruitful life, the most happiest life, you can't do it doing something that you don't love. Because I believe that each one of us here are put on this world to fulfill a purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have a talent. And you, in order for you to really be a successful human being, it's finding out what that talent is, what that purpose is, and living it. Only then can you be truly happy. And when you're happy, it reflects on everybody else, and it reflects in the in the world that you live in. So find what that is that wakes you up at night, excited and ready. And I truly believe that is going to yield you a lot of income.
Praise God. So Obi has a question. We're going to move on to the next question. Obi, is
praise
that a
the
question
Lord.
That you have? Is that a question?
Praise the Lord.
Chichi, is that praise a question that you have?
Praise the Lord.
We have to keep going.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I don't have a question. I just have a general statement. All right? I believe in a relationship between children and their parents. The children, they need to exercise a lot of patience. And parents, you need a lot of faith. There are so many things that I didn't understand when I was a kid. But now that I'm a parent, I started understanding it. All right. For example, it is very, very hard. It is very, very hard for a child to come and tell their parents, you want to make a very drastic decision in your life. It's very hard for that parent to listen to you. Why the little things that you have authority over? For instance, they can't trust you to clean your room. They can't trust you to study your books. Now, all of a sudden, you want to do some kind of crazy business that will, you know, involve everybody's life. It's very, very hard for them to listen to you. So, you have to exercise patience when they are saying no to some certain things. For example, this last question said that you want to make a spiritual decision. But being spiritual is simply obeying the word of God. You haven't honored your parents. You haven't done the little obedience you're supposed to do in the house. Now you want to go for a missionary journey. It's going to be very hard for them to listen to you. You cannot eat your cake and have it back. Now, to parents, you need faith. You need faith. There are so many things you can learn from your youth. There are so many things you can learn from your children. Don't allow your senses to guide you. Because your senses, that's what the Bible summarized as flesh. When you walk by sight, you are walking by what you are seeing. See, let me tell you something. If you understand how things move around, you can study zoology tomorrow in Nigeria, and you become the richest man in Nigeria. Because the way God works things is not the way society works things. Isaac was in Philistia. Everybody was living. God told him to stay right there. And God blessed him so much to the point that the governors now are now coming to seek treaty out of him. We have to walk by faith. Praise the Lord.
Sorry, I just had a comment on the last question very quickly. But I was going to encourage especially the young Nigerians to, if your interest isn't in the realm of what's typical, I encourage you to take a risk, because we need Nigerian politicians. We need Nigerians who will go beyond the basic industries, because we're in this country now. Who knows? You might be the first senator from Nigeria in this country, but it takes you being brave and doing things that you would normally do. I don't want to put my mom on blast, but there was a time she was trying to get me to be a lawyer all the time. But I thank God because I didn't do that. And I praise God because he's given me the privilege to teach at Rutgers. I don't know how many Nigerians my age are teaching at Rutgers. If she had continued doing that, I don't know that I would ever have gotten that opportunity. So I want to say, take risks. Don't just play it safe, because you never know where God might put you and the influence you might have.
Praise God.
Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. I just want to take a little different, slightly different direction from what Brother Obi indicated. First, to the parents, as a young man who has been through, some of the issues that have been discussed here, what I can simply say is, learn to give your children room to be themselves and to make some of their own mistakes, because sometimes that's the best way for them to learn. And always remember that as long as the Word of God says, teach a child the way that he's supposed to go, and he will not depart from it. I am a true believer that I don't care what part of the earth that you go to, you will always come back to what you have been taught. So have that faith and believe that they're in God's hands. Now, on the other hand, to some of the youth, I'm very sorry to say this, but the truth of the matter is, a lot of reasons why you have conflict with your parents is because you're very arrogant. I'm very honest. You're very arrogant. You need to learn to humble yourself. You need to learn to calm yourself down and listen to the instructions that are being given to you, because they have come before you. There are certain things that they have seen, that they have experienced, that you will never even fathom, even if you try. So give them that room as your parents. Respect them. And when it's time, nobody will tell you. It will come to pass. And you will be allowed to do what you want.
Well, that is the last person, and then we're done. Praise God.
So I want to just cap up the question of choosing a major and just in general picking something. Sometimes your parents agree. Sometimes your parents don't agree. I like to say that choosing a major for me, how I choose my own, is spiritual. You need to go to God and really pray about it, both parents and both youth. Sometimes when you're looking at your surroundings, like I'm from Nigeria too, and you're looking at your surroundings, and you're saying, if you study computer science, you're going to be a teacher. When me, I was saying, that's what they were saying, that when you study computer science, you're going to be a teacher, or you're not going to do anything with it. But now, if you study computer science in Nigeria, if you go to Yaba Tech, that's where the new Silicon Valley is in Nigeria, and that's like 5 years after. the point is that you never know the future. You don't know where God is taking your child to. You don't know where what's going to happen in the future. So we should all approach it from a spiritual point of view and go to meet God and ask God, youth, ask Jesus, Lord, what do you think I should study in college? This is what I see I'm good at. This is what I see I'm not good at. But you know the best path for me because you have thoughts for me. The word of God says many are the plans of a man, but the purpose of God will always prevail. So I believe we should approach it from that point of view.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to close this off. Thank you, everyone, for all your input, and thank you to the youth ministry for giving us this ability to do this. But before we close, the one word that I want to give to parents is enabler. The word enabler means a person or a thing that makes something possible. Enabler. There are certain times that I see in the lives of our youth that if your love for your kids are toxic, they're too much, they're overpowering, you hinder your child from growing up to be the person you want to be. If you're always providing them with things, you're always giving, they think through you. Every thought, every action is through you. Once they become parents, how do you expect them to train their children if they don't have you behind them? So sometimes, like Obi said, take faith in God. Let them go. Do not enable your kids in an unhealthy way so that when they're now by themselves, they have nothing to do. When they get to college, they're not responsible. When they do things, they're not responsible. So please, use God's guidance, use God's, and youth as well. Use the mentors that God has given you to figure out how to get a good balance of when to separate independence and responsibility from your parents. Thank you so much.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.